and welcome to Under the Dome, the State Journal Register's podcast about Illinois politics and government. I'm editor Angie Muse, and I'm here with political writer Bernie Schoenberg and State House reporter Doug Finke. Bernie, fireworks in the debate between, or well, the appearance, joint appearance between the Governor Rauner and J.B. Pritzker this week at the Sun-Times editorial board.
There were indeed. It was done in formal debate manner, and with the wonders of, you know, the way media works these days and electronics, we were able to watch on the internet. The governor doesn't like J.B. Pritzker much, and I think the feeling is mutual. We had a lot of barbs and a lot of interruptions of each other. The governor is still harping on J.B. Pritzker for the report that came out of the Inspector General's office of Cook County, saying that it was a move to defraud when toilets were taken out of a mansion that J.B. Pritzker owned next door to the one he lives in the near north in Chicago, and that caused property taxes to be reassessed and bills over a few years went down $330,000. J.B. Pritzker has now paid it back, just saying that he is wants to get rid of the distraction, but the governor's people say that's an admission he did something wrong, which J.B. Pritzker says no. Then J.B. Pritzker talks about the now criminal investigation from Attorney General Lisa Madigan into the way people were notified and the way the governor handled things when there was an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease at the Quincy Veterans Home, where over a few years, 14 people died and something like 70 were sickened. The governor says he did everything right, but this was not only a contentious part of the debate, but you know, both of these things are now in TV ads as well. And there was a pretty strong new TV ad from the JB people, from the son of a veteran who died in that home, questioning the 6 days that their own administration waited to let people know there was an illness, and saying, you know, how would you have done, Governor Rauner, if this were your parents? So the debate, at one point, the Tom McNamee, I think his name is the editor of the Sun-Times, said boys, to get them to quit bickering and quit interrupting each other as they went about the business of saying why the other guy was terrible.
And yeah. As we're recording this thing, the final face-to-face debate between the two is going to come off in a few hours in Quincy. And speaking only for myself, I'm fine with that, because these debates and joint appearances have really degenerated into no actual enlightenment on issues, but a lot of sniping at each other. And, neither man can get an answer in without the other one jumping in and making comments about it. And I don't think that really serves the campaign very well.
It will be interesting to see, how they manage, if they're able to keep things on track tonight, and it's a thankless, difficult task to moderate a debate, as Bernie well knows.
It's easier when there's a little less contentiousness and a few less million dollars being spent.
But given the location in Quincy, you're going to be hearing about the veterans' home.
You are indeed.
Every time J.B. Pritzker has a chance to open his mouth to speak.
We are going to hear the word heroes a lot, and we are going to perhaps have our memory refreshed that the governor spent something like 6 nights staying with these folks to show he cared after news of this broke. But the stories have been that came out of basically mostly WBEZ radio, public radio in Chicago, have been damaging, that just show that at least there was some back and forth in email from people, including the governor's office, saying, hey, let's wait to tell the public about this until maybe we'll get some reporter questions.
And, the governor, of course, has questioned the timing of the Lisa Madigan investigation,
sure,
which I believe was announced the day after the Pritzker toilet investigation report was leaked. So,
right, and just before another debate,
this is politically motivated.
So it's interesting, and I did find it interesting all along that the governor agreed to do a debate in Quincy, because I think that was one of the locations proposed by the Pritzker people. So, everybody is betting that they can perform the best. I think that probably their consultants are telling them that interruption is good, because then you don't let the other guy get a full soundbite about how terrible you are. So it might just be part of the tactics now, which is, as Doug said, unfortunate. I'm not sure what the answer is for the best way to campaign and see people perform, but it is what it is. I will say in the Chicago, in the Sun-Times, face-off, the governor did come off, and people have noticed the difference from the way he talked 4 years ago when he was running, when asked about immigration, and he's trying to show perhaps his more conservative Republican backers, or people who used to be his backers, that he is very down on illegal immigration. And he said illegal immigration does take jobs away from Americans, and he mentioned that that's a reason Chicago has such a high crime rate. This was jumped on by a lot of people who say crime is down in recent years, even though there have been obviously some terrible months and terrible weekends in Chicago, and a lot of the murders are always in the hundreds in the year in Chicago. But the governor clarified his comments the next day, saying, I didn't mean that illegal aliens are being violent, but they're taking jobs from people, therefore unemployment rises, and when you get that combination, then more people turn to violence because they can't get a good job, so it's back to economic development. So he's had to explain that, but it was a much harder line on immigration than he took 4 years ago when he talked about the value of immigrants to our society and all. And both he signed the Trust Act, which tells law enforcement in Illinois that you don't, in just dealing with someone who is undocumented, you don't turn them over to federal authorities unless you have a federal warrant. Pritzker agrees with this and actually said in this debate this week, even illegal people are here with legal relatives. They're working and they help us. So a very, very different thing. But the governor, a much harder line now because he needs to get some of that conservative Republican base to turn out on election day for him.
And I think you're right. I think turnout is going to be a big factor. We did see a new poll come out this week from Ipsos and Reuters.
Yeah, and that is, it's mostly a marketing firm, and they do political polls as well. And among likely voters, of the 2,000 people that they talked to in Illinois, something like more than 900 said they were likely voters, and there's a little, because we're leaning Democratic, more of them were Democrat than Republican, but the split on the governor's race among those people was, as I recall, 50 for Pritzker and 30 for Rauner. Of course, we know from 2016 and just general principles that you can't always believe in polls, and
yes,
that pollsters get it wrong. But this was, I think neither side, I let both sides know I was writing about this when I put something on our web and in the column. Didn't really get a response from either, meaning nobody's taking great issue with this independent pollster. So, we don't know where the numbers will stand, but...
But it's in keeping with what a lot of other polls have shown, which is Pritzker with a fairly substantial lead.
Correct.
And, so it's not an outlier in that that sense.
And clearly the governor, by starting to more regularly say that JB stands for jailbird because of the toilet situation,
right,
is trying to use that issue as much as he can to move some votes late in the campaign. The interesting thing about this is because the toilet issue was reported by the Chicago Sun-Times something like a year ago, the governor, over a long period of time, has run ads saying Pritzker took toilets out of his mansion to lower his property taxes. That's terrible. So the very busy general public voter may not catch the nuance of what's new here. Right, and that this is a critical juncture in the campaign where something has changed a lot.
All right. The other hot race right now, of course, that seems like it's getting hotter every day, is the 13th with Betsy Londrigan and Rodney Davis. And, segueing from state issues to federal, state issues popped up in that federal campaign this week. It's not a Central Illinois campaign till you bring in Abe Lincoln's hat, right?
Well, yes, and one of the jobs, Betsy Londrigan has talked about being a business person, and she's been an independent contractor and fundraiser for a number of years, and from, I think, 2009 to 2017, she was an independent contractor working to raise money for the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Foundation. Now, the foundation has been in the news because they bought the Taper collection of, 1,400 items that are mostly related to Lincoln and some to Marilyn Monroe, oddly, including a purported Lincoln's top hat that cost $6.5 million of this total, and the foundation is still trying to get money to pay back the full more than $20 million that they paid for all of this stuff. The provenance, which is a good word, you know, if the hat, the chain of title, where that hat has been, was it really Lincoln's, has come into question. And it does turn out that the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Foundation has tried to get some state money. They did in 2013. They're trying again now to help pay off the loan that they got to buy this stuff. And the fact that the hat may not have been Lincoln's is causing them trouble. So as we do this, both of us, I think, or some of us just saw
Think two of us saw the ad before we came in.
There's a new ad that Rodney Davis put out about Betsy Londrigan being involved with this possibly fake hat and going to Mike Madigan at the legislature for money. So she's just another Madigan crony kind of a thing, which makes, and that's from the Rodney Davis campaign. So that puts it all in kind of the same mix as what Rauner's trying to do to Pritzker and what every state legislative candidate is trying to do to their Democratic opponent by saying, oh, they're just working for Madigan. Interestingly, the situation is the head of the of the Library Foundation, Carla Narowski, said that in 2013 she was looking for some state money to be perfectly safe. She registered as a lobbyist for that 1 year, and she's registered again lately because she's seeking money again. And Betsy Londrigan, who was, again, a fundraising consultant to the organization, registered as a lobbyist for just that year, also out of caution, according to Carla Narowski. And Londrigan was at, I think helped set up, but was at some meetings with people, including President Cullerton, and maybe some other legislative leaders or legislators. Seeking money they didn't get back then, and so there was only 1 year that Betsy was registered as a lobbyist, but now the Republican Party has been putting out a lot of flyers on behalf of Rodney Davis, calling her a lobbyist, among other names, and that's why, because of that 1 year that she registered in 2013, and she no longer works for the organization, but being linked to the hat and Madigan, so it is what, I don't know how this works, but you know, we move on. And of course, the other major development in that race this week is that Friday, Mike Pence, the lieutenant, or the lieutenant.
We're back to federal, Bernie.
That guy from Indiana. The vice president is coming to a $500 per person and more, if you wish, fundraiser for Rodney Davis to, you know, forward the agenda. It's interesting that a different ad that the super PAC run by Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the U.S. House, Republican, on behalf of Rodney Davis, is now accusing Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan of belonging to a yacht club that costs thousands of dollars a year to join. They're talking about Island Bay Yacht Club. Her husband, Tom, is a big sailor. He's been a racing sailor for a number of years. So there's that. But this fundraiser at $500 a person is at Panther Creek Country Club. So I'm not sure that they're putting in their own ads that they're having this fancy event at a country club also, although it is a neighborhood as well.
Well, the real danger is that Mike Madigan has his annual big fundraiser at the Island Bay Yacht Club. So there's another Madigan connection they can exploit.
You know, in this atmosphere,
I think everyone's coming back. It's like 6 degrees or maybe 2 degrees of separation.
He just gave somebody an idea for a commercial. So there you go.
Yeah, and then in that race, you know, again, polls, you know, come out and different polls say different things. The Londrigan campaign put out a poll showing her within one point.
I think it was 49-48 or something like that.
And then the Davis campaign responded with a poll that
which was
they
actually
say
from
shows
the Paul
something.
Ryan Super PAC commissioned a poll that showed him about 10 or 11 points up. So believe who you will, but it clearly there's a national focus on the race. You see a lot of ads from both sides now. There's also the Paul Ryan National PAC has been running ads accusing Betsy Londrigan of wanting universal health care, which she denies. She thinks she wants a more limited Medicare for All choice thing or pilot program. But they have had her say enough at some point. They believe they can say this, and they say it'll cost $32 trillion, which I think is based on like an Investor's Daily editorial about this, and around the country there are some other locations where this $32 trillion it's a $1 trillion thing,
right, is being said in other districts
and
too.
Of course, Laundry Against People said this was so ludicrous they asked TV stations to take it down, but it's almost impossible to prove an ad wrong in the way that TV stations will not take the money and run the ad.
And so Davis's campaign is also asking TV stations to take down an ad that is put up by
Emily's List has a political committee, and they are for pro-choice candidates for Congress. They are for Betsy, and their PAC is it Women First? It's something, something like Women Something, has been running a funny ad that looks like a drug
It's kind
commercial.
Of parodying those size, gauzy drug commercials.
Right, and it shows Rodney Davis and his family from his own ads, and it says the side effects are you might lose your insurance because of Rodney Davis. So they're making fun of the side effects in those ads. But Rodney Davis put out a press release, you know, demanding that Betsy demand that those ads be taken down because they're using his children, which of course are in his own ads, but these are ads by an outside group making fun of him. So it's understandable. People get very touchy when their children are involved. No movement on that front so far as we know.
Right. Neither ad has been taken down by the TV stations.
Right.
They're all still running.
It's getting these high-dollar races for Congress. It's even worse than some races for mayor of Springfield, I'm telling you. They get really rough nerves and get frayed, and Election Day can't come soon enough, according to me.
All right, then. Well, if you want to hear at what we hope will be an informative debate focused on the issues between Betsy Londrigan and Rodney Davis, you have your chance coming up this Monday, October 15th. The State Journal Register and WMAY Radio are hosting them here at the SJR building. We'll kick it off at 6:30 p.m. We are requiring tickets, and they have all been claimed. So if you have a ticket, come on down. If you missed out on getting a ticket, you can watch the debate live on SJR.com, or you can listen on WMAY radio stations. And again, that's Monday, October 15th at 6:30 p.m. That's this episode of Under the Dome. We'll be back next week with more on the latest on all the hot campaigns. Until then, subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. And thanks for listening.